Tomorrow marks the 75th anniversary of the surrender of Japan and the end of the war in the Pacific. Here's the Prime Minister, Ben Chifley, sharing the news on August 15th, 1945.
Fellow citizens, the war is over. The Japanese government has accepted the terms of surrender imposed by the Allied nations, and hostilities will now cease. The reply by the Japanese government to the note sent by Britain, the United Nations, the USSR, and China has been received and accepted by the Allied nations.
My guest now is served in the Royal Australian Navy. Incredibly, he survived the sinking of one battleship and a kamikaze attack on another and went on to fight until the end of the war, Rear Admiral Guy Griffiths. Good morning to you. Does that audio take you back?
Good morning. Certainly does, yes. It was delightful news.
What do you remember of that day, that moment?
Well, I remember the lead up to it, of course, the two bombs on the 6th and 9th of August, and then the announcement on the 15th. And my ship, the Shropshire, HMAS Shropshire cruiser, was in Subic Bay in the Philippines, together with other members of our task force. And it was fantastic news, because everybody had had more than enough. And it was delightful that we weren't going to fire the guns anymore in the cause for World War II.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, there must have been a degree of relief that you were no longer at war, that the threat to you was over. But was there also a sense of relief that the shooting, the killing also would end on your part?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It all stopped, you see. Everybody stopped killing each other. And it's one of the dreadful things of war. You lose in fighting for your independence, which, of course, is what we were doing. Thousands of people die. And not only the forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, it's all the civilians who get caught up in the crossfire, as one might say. And thousands died in World War II. War doesn't do anything for anybody, as far as I'm concerned, and I sincerely hope that we never have any such type of conflict ever again.
You're 97 today. I think that's correct, isn't it?
I am 97. Yeah. You can't stop time.
How do you reflect on that period of the world when you consider all the tumult of today, and there is a lot of sort of ferocious discourse globally? There seems a desire to pull apart some of the institutions and architecture and processes that came about at the end of the Second World War.
Well, there are a number of conflicts around at the moment. And, of course, after World War II, I participated in or was deployed in Navy ships, a carrier and a destroyer for the Korean War, North versus South. And again, I commanded a ship, guided missile destroyer in the Vietnam War, supporting the South Vietnam. Yes, these minor conflicts, they are localized, but they do affect people far beyond their borders and in many ways. And I just hope it'd be rather nice if everybody could sit down and, sounds stupid to say, have a cup of tea.
Does it worry you that with the passage of times, we perhaps forget the significance of going to war, the impact of war?
Well, it's very difficult, I think, to keep it alive, because you can describe various operations or things that happened, but the person that you're talking to, it requires immense imagination to capture any of the real items in such a discourse. It's
reading your experience of not just that war, but the Korean War as well, Vietnam. You joined the Navy at 13, I think. You served for 43 years. There was obviously your experience on the HMS Repulse that was attacked. You're on, as you mentioned, the HMS Shropshire when it was attacked by Japanese kamikaze bombers. Do you feel that you were lucky to survive all of it?
Oh, absolutely. I always say, I was lucky and won lotto in getting selected for the Naval College in the first place. But after that, surviving Repulse and the other engagements when one got involved in, yes, you can put it, capital L-U-C-K, yeah, luck.
How have you found this time of COVID, the lockdowns, the isolation that presumably comes for many of your generation?
Well, to me, I suppose it's my old experience of discipline. If somebody says we're doing this for your good, then why question it? Let's get on with doing ourselves good. And if the lockdown is inconvenient in many lives, so be it. It may be saving your life. And that to me is terribly important.
You will obviously mark tomorrow in your own personal way. Obviously, normally you might be preparing for marches, memorial services. I suspect a lot of that is not happening. What will you reflect on tomorrow?
I can reflect back on two ships, Repulse and particularly Shropshire, on the work that the crew is a better word. We call them a ship's company, but it's a crew. And the way they worked together as a team to provide the correct output accurately from gunfire to beat off, so on. Those are the fellows who did tremendous work. And of course, you can put that picture into every ship that was afloat. In Shropshire, we were lucky because of the work of the guns crews. And in fact, the whole control organization, we didn't have any damage and we didn't have any casualties. Fantastic.
Well, we thank you for your service and we honour you today and more particularly tomorrow, Rear Admiral Guy Griffiths. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hamish. Thank you.
And I should say, to mark this anniversary, the government is asking Australians to say thank you by sharing the stories of World War II veterans, by holding an image of a relative, taking a picture, sharing it on social media using the hashtag #1inamillion. And tomorrow, the ABC will broadcast a commemorative service to mark the anniversary from inside the Australian War Memorial. That is on the ABC from 9:30 a.m. and on iView.